welcome to Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show.
Yay! So guys, next week's supercomputing.
What'd you say?
So guys, next week's supercomputing.
Well, oh, the trade show thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Dan, you're actually going to be there.
Oh, that's right, I am. Seattle, right?
Begins with an S, has an A in it, but not Seattle. Salt Lake, Dan.
Oh, good.
I hope you know which way you're driving.
Yeah.
But anyway, what do you think's going to be new there? And what's going to be old? And what do you think's going to be happening? So I'm going to start this. I'm going to be the press guy this time, and I'm going to start with you, Rich.
Okay. I happen to have carnal knowledge, but Cray will be coming out with a new generation of supercomputers. You know, they've been announcing along the way wins already on this for at least the last 6-8 months. But that looks very exciting for the ultra scale kind of machines. So that'll be coming out. Secondly, I'm kind of under non-disclosure on a lot of other things. Certainly, we'll be seeing new products from NVIDIA with their Kepler architecture, the 64-bit, and Intel will be out with Xeon Phi. So it's going to be a no holds barred showdown, I think, this year at SC12.
And Rich, we've got what's new. What's going to be old and not change? What's sort of stuck in the mud?
You?
Besides me.
Well, kind of old, kind of new. Bo Ewald will be there as a CEO of a company that does liquid cooling supercomputing. So I can't say much more than that, but that's kind of old and new at the same time.
That's kind of an interesting thing that you'd say that, because my thing that's going to be new, I predict we're going to see an awful lot of liquid cooling for supercomputing there. I'm hearing that from all over.
Well, I mean, that's sort of been coming the last couple of years, Dan. A couple of years ago, we had the guys who were putting the everything into the
mineral oil.
And you know, in the past we saw some spray cooling where people were spraying things, but you consider that new, or is that just a progression?
Well, it's a progression, but I think that it starts to get more mainstream this time. I think we're going to see a lot more mainstream users of it. I know that the mineral oil guys have signed up some companies that will now fully support their products when they're immersed in a deep fryer. But I think we're going to see more stuff, and we're going to see more things from major vendors. Let's see who else. Like Rich said, the major guys are all going to be having announcements. I know IBM is doing some, going to be talking about some stuff. HP is going to be talking about some new things coming out. I'm not sure. I haven't heard a lot of real revolutionary stuff though for this.
Well,
time.
Well, and to that end, I was going to ask you, Rich, Dan, you guys heard anything? Because you're wired into it. Anything in the networking side or the storage side that's going to be new, different? I mean, we're going to have a lot of flash vendors there, but I don't consider that new or different.
It's an evolution.
Yeah. Anything on the networking or the storage side, new and different? Or same old, same old?
Yeah, we're going to see some announcements of some very dense storage connected to servers, sort of aiming at that Hadoop crowd, but that's not going to be a real revolutionary thing.
Right, and that goes back to the cooling thing. That's, if you can't cool, you know, you can do dense storage if you can cool it. You know, I think we'll see a lot more appliance-sizing storage at this show, and more storage appliances than we've seen in the past.
For HPC.
I think everybody's going to be a storage appliance.
For HPC. I mean,
yeah, we're not going to see any block storage anymore.
Hmm. Why?
Storage is too hard to manage, and everybody's moving the appliance model. It allows the storage to be decoupled from the server. You can sell it separately. There's a lot of advantages. You don't theoretically need as many smart people to run your storage because it's all built into the appliance. All the smart people have done their work.
But the typical objection to this, particularly from the HPC community, is that every time you go down this road, you give up control, configurability, and you end up paying more for it.
Potentially don't doubt that, but that's the way the industry is going, Dan.
I mean, those guys would want to buy bare spindles and then enclosures and magnets and put them together.
I don't think you're right. I think those guys have reached the point where the storage complexity of the configurations at some of the major sites, they don't have enough people and budget to manage it.
So they're finally willing to make a nod towards taking out some of that complexity.
I believe that's the direction. Rich, what do you think?
Well, I mean, Henry, I was just going to ask you, when we start getting these 10 petaflop machines, is there some kind of formula? Like, how much storage do you need for scratch to do 10 petaflops? Is there a rule of thumb there?
You know, I think we're outside the rules of thumb, because if you use the old rules of thumb, it's no one can afford the storage and the bandwidth necessary. This goes back to, like, the applications, and what do the applications checkpoint? In some of these applications, you only have to write a little bit of data for each checkpoint. That's going to be way different than if you have to dump 2 or 4 gig per core to checkpoint the application. And this is about the reliability of the machine. And I think we're going to have to see some new kinds of formulas that take into account system reliability for, you know, and availability for the job to, you know, if as a function of checkpoint and bandwidth. I don't think the old methods are gonna work and be cost effective. And that's why people are talking about this burst buffer idea.
I'm not familiar with that. What is that?
I'm gonna pretend that I know about it and just nod knowingly, but go ahead, Henry. I think you're a little deeper on this than I am. Maybe you've got some more recent information.
Well, there's been talk in the DOE community for the Exascale program of building an external buffer that is flash that you just sort of just dump memory quickly and then you trickle it off the disk.
Oh, okay. It's sort of way, kind of like you putting flash into a hierarchical storage sort of deal. It's the, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. I did know about that. Cool.
Cool that you knew about it, Dan, or a cool idea?
Both. I'm going to say both on this. But I don't know of anything really revolutionary either that I've heard on the streets or through NDA.
Well, one thing I could mention is a trend, and our friend Mike Bernhardt brought us this story actually this morning, but there will be over 75 sessions and things related to Exascale this year at SC12. That's enough for probably 2 or 3 other major conferences just by itself, so I think that's notable, especially since the first mention of Exascale at an SC conference happened at SC08. Just 4 years ago, and they had a handful, and now there's 75 events and sessions going on.
Well, that's interesting, Rich. But how does Mike think that translates into actually trying to build a machine and an infrastructure stack?
Well, certainly it's a step towards that, right? I mean, it's going to take these collaborations of these very people that we bring to supercomputing and to report on their work and share information. That's the baby steps, right? But it shows the breadth of activities going on out there, Henry, I think, and that's what's important.
Well, I agree with you, but really depends, and this show is being done before the election. I think it really depends on what happens in the election with both the Congress and the presidency of whether we move in that direction or another.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, we shall see.
We shall see.
Well, I mean, certainly the federal government's in a kind of a money pinch. There is no money right now, and I think we're looking at a lot of hard choices coming, you know, up here after the election, and going forward. So it doesn't matter who wins. I think that'll still be the case.
I agree, right? But the de-emphasis in science, depending on who wins and who wins the Congress, you know, look at some of the science issues and what's been said recently by certain people in Congress. I think that's going to be the big issue.
You're scaring me, Henry.
No, I don't buy it. We'll see, though.
We shall see.
The thing that I'm wondering is this the time to start talking about Zettascale?
So is that the next one? Is that 1,000x, 1,000 exaflops?
Yep.
Is that Zetta?
Exascale getting kind of played. I think it's time to start looking forward.
Dan,
maybe not this year, but maybe next year. I'll be the first guy with a session on Zettascale.
Actually, I think you should have a birds of a feather next year, Dan, and
yep.
I think we should wrap this section up now.
We could do that. Well, let's go offline and start planning what we'll do for Zettascale for that session.
We can discuss that at dinner on Friday, Dan.
Excellent.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.